Welcome to the second episode of Black Cat Astronomy. At this time of the year, the Maori of New Zealand celebrate Matariki, the traditional Maori New Year. I'm not going to embarrass myself by lecturing you about a culture I know little about. Instead, I will talk about how to tell the time of the year by looking at the stars and about the Pleiades, a beautiful open star cluster that in the language of the Maori goes by the name of Matariki and is the namesake of the celebrations. Let's start with the timekeeping. Why do we see different stars at different times of the year? The stars we see in our night sky don't move. Well, actually they do, and quite fast at that. But those stars are far enough away so that over the very short period of a couple of human lifetimes, we would not see the effect. For this episode, I ask you to picture our Sun in the center, with the Earth orbiting around it, and all the other stars standing still further out from the center. As Earth is spinning around its axis, we sometimes face the Sun. At that time, we can't see the stars because all the sunlight scattering in our atmosphere makes the sky brighter than the light that reaches us from distant stars. You all know what to call that. Daytime. At night, when we face away from the Sun, we can see the distant stars. All the stars are there all the time. We just can't see all of them all of the time. During one year, the Sun completes one circle around the Sun. Right now, as I'm recording this episode, when the part of Earth you're standing on is facing away from the Sun, you're looking almost directly in the direction of the constellation of Scorpius the Scorpion. As Earth spins, Scorpius rises in the evening, is nice and high in our skies around midnight, and sets in the morning. We can see Scorpius all night long. Almost exactly opposite in our sky, we have the constellation of Orion the Hunter. At this time of the year, Orion rises in the morning, reaches its highest point in the sky around midday, and sets in the evening. So at this time of the year, you will not get good views of Orion. 6 months from now, the Earth will have completed half a turn around the Sun. When we face in the direction of Scorpius in 6 months' time, we will be looking at the Sun. In 6 months, Scorpius will rise in the morning, reach its highest point in the sky around midday, and set in the evening. So you will have a hard time seeing it. But you will be enjoying good views of Orion all night long. That also means during the year, for every star there is one special day where you can spot it one last time after sunset, before it is hidden from view by daylight. We call that a heliacal setting. And one special day where you can spot it just before sunrise when it returns to our night skies. That is called a heliacal rising. Since it takes the Earth 1 year to finish a tour around the Sun, those heliacal risings and settings happen the same day every year, which makes them very useful markers if you want to keep track of the time of year. It is no surprise that people all around the world have used heliacal settings and rising to keep their calendar up to date. In fact, people have been observing heliacal risings and settings long before the first Maori was even born. In ancient Egypt, the heliacal rising of the dog star Sirius used to coincide with the yearly flooding of the River Nile, a very important event in a society dependent on that river for survival. So naturally, they looked out for Sirius in the morning skies and used its appearance as a marker for one of the most important events in their year. If you research and memorize the date of the heliacal risings of just one star for each day of the year for the place you live in, and learn how to recognize them, you'll never need a calendar again to get the current date. That would be really impressive. Personally, I can't be bothered, partly because I'm not the kind of guy to get up that early, and partly because around here many days are too cloudy to see the stars anyway. But I did learn about a dozen heliacal settings for dates that are important to me. I did not plan to do that. It's just one of the things that happen to you if you are interested in this kind of thing and spend a lot of your evenings outdoors. In the last episode, I talked about looking up in the sky and thinking about my son's birthday coming up. This is how I do this. But let's get back to the festival of Matariki. In New Zealand, the heliacal rising of the Pleiades coincides roughly with the winter solstice, the longest and coldest night of the year. So the first day you can spot this group of stars in the pre-dawn sky. You know that from now on the days are going to get longer and the weather is getting warmer. Time to celebrate the beginnings of a new year. That is why the stars of Matariki, as the Pleiades are called in New Zealand, are the namesake for the celebrations. Of course, things are a little bit more complicated than that. For example, different tribes use the heliacal risings and settings of different stars to mark the beginning of a new year. Matariki are just the most commonly used and most visually appealing stars for that purpose. If you live in New Zealand or are familiar with its national holidays, you will probably have a question. The heliacal rising of the Pleiades can be observed at the same day every year. So why do we celebrate the holiday on a different day each year? The answer is that during the year the Maori traditionally used a lunar calendar called Maramataka. This calendar is not based on the risings and settings of stars, but on the phases of the moon. It takes about 7 days from a new moon to a waxing half moon, another 7 days to a full moon, another 7 days to a waning half moon, and so on. That is why we have 7 days in a week and 4 weeks in a month. The Maori took that a lot further, talking about many more lunar phases. Our modern day calendar is based on the Earth's journey around the Sun, not the Moon's orbit around Earth. And that is why today our weeks and months no longer mirror the phases of the Moon. The Maori calendar is based mainly on the phases of the Moon, resulting in 354 days per year. In the Gregorian calendar we use today, the year lasts 365 and a quarter day. In other words, there is an 11-day difference between a solar year and a Maori lunar year, which needs to be addressed if you actually want your calendar to line up with the seasons. To achieve this, Matariki is celebrated during the last days of a waning moon, just before the first new moon after the heliacal rising of the Pleiades. All this is, of course, a very simplified version of the outcome of long arguments between different tribes and traditions. Different tribes use different methods to find the first day of the new year. And there was also the requirement that the public holiday should be on a Friday. We do like our long weekends here in New Zealand. In case you want to go into some of the details, I'll put a link to a more detailed report in the description. The name Matariki can be traced back to the phrase Ngamata o Te Ariki Tafarimatea, translating into the eyes of the god Tafarimate. But that is quite a mouthful, so it got shortened to Matariki, which is nice since Mata translates to eye and Riki translates to small. Little eyes in the sky. The name is referring to Maori creation mythology, where the Sky Father, Rangi Nui, and the Earth Mother, Papatuanuku, were separated by the children, creating the world we humans live in. One of their children, Tafarimate, was so upset about his parents' forceful separation that he plucked out his eyes and threw them into the sky, where they became the stars of Matariki. As the Pleiades are a very easy to spot group of stars in the constellation of Taurus the Bull that is visible from almost anywhere on Earth, they are used for timekeeping in a lot of cultures around the world. Some people argue that the name Pleiades probably comes from the ancient Greek word plane, to sail, because at that time in the Mediterranean, the heliacal rising of that star cluster was used to mark the beginning of the seafaring season. Before we end this show, I would like to give you a very brief introduction about what kind of astronomical objects we are dealing with when we are talking about the group of stars known as the Pleiades, or Matariki, as we call them here in New Zealand. The Pleiades are an open star cluster, and an open star cluster is a group of stars that formed close to each other in the same star-forming region at roughly the same time, not too long ago. As a rule of thumb, the stars in open clusters stay together for a few hundred million years before they drift apart from each other. Here are just some quick facts about the Pleiades. The Pleiades contain over 1,000 stars that formed close to each other in between 75 and 150 million years ago. The bright blue stars you can see with your naked eyes formed within the last 100 million years. At the moment, the Pleiades are plowing through a random interstellar dust cloud at a speed of 18 km per second. With a good amateur telescope, you can see a faint glow around the cluster where the light from the stars is reflected by this dust. And even with the unaided eye, the Pleiades are a beautiful thing to look at. Not now, since now you can only see them for a few moments in the pre-dawn sky in the east. But if you wait until December, you get really good views throughout most of the night. Maybe I will do an episode on the natural history and the astrophysics of the Pleiades in December, so that you get this kind of information at a time when you can actually see the stars I'm talking about. Maybe. If by that time I still remember what I said here in this episode, I'll think about it. And with that, we reach the end of this episode. The next one will have nothing to do with traditional star lore or human history. No, we will finally dive into the real science. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you come back for the next episode. Ad Astra!